Good morning, Central Family, and if you are visiting with us this morning, we would like to welcome you. If you can, stick around a little bit after services so that we can get to know you a little better. If you're online watching this morning, we welcome you as well. So, good morning again. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, Isaiah chapter 40. Now, we're very familiar with verse 31, but I think importantly is what is before it. So I'd like to share the before and verse 31, beginning at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, Brother Steve Allen.
Start with number 560. 560.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, a shadow or sunshine or rain. Lord, I am rooted for everything, and all of my worry is vain.
For you, let's stand for this song.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded so frequently about how transient life can be, how we have people in our life one day and then not the next, whether because of loss or because of moving or just change in life. And Father, we do look forward to the day when one day we will be reunited and we won't have to worry about separation anymore. We won't have to worry about separation from those in your church because the community will all be gathered together. We look forward to the day when we won't have to worry about separation from you. We won't have to worry about faltering in our faith or anything like that because you will be so encompassing. Your light will be so bright in our lives for the rest of eternity that we won't have to worry about not being with you. And we'll get to enjoy being with you in the fullest sense. Father, we look forward to that day. But Father, as we go through life, there are a lot of times where we do falter, we do struggle. Sometimes we are ashamed of our faith. Sometimes we don't stand up for it like we should. And so, Father, help us as we go through life to live life with eternity at the forefront of our brains. Help us to live with you in our thoughts at all times. And Father, I pray that as we gather today, as we focus right now on what it means to be in community and to live life in the way you want us to do so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to focus, help us to be attentive, not just to the lesson, but to those around us. Father, help us to love you more today than we did yesterday. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Number 41.
Mighty is our God. Your ears conquering motion.
morning. It's now the appropriate time to take the children out for their Bible class this morning. If you'd like to do that, now's the great time to do that. Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, and we'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And he said to all, "If any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels."
New life. That's why we love spring, isn't it? What has been a barren-looking landscape becomes beautiful and green and multicolored. It is a beautiful thing to see spring come. And we love these days. But it's also why we love gathering together to worship God on the Lord's Day, because new life is found here in its ultimate sense. Through the week, we are battered by life. We are tempted by sin, and sometimes we feel almost lifeless. But when we come together in God's house and worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it brings life again. And it's so good to be with you again, to have you here, and to share with us in this time of worship and praise. We're so glad that you are here with us today. All of you that are worshiping with us online, we're glad that you're with us as well. And thank you for taking the time to worship God, even though you're not able to be here with us in person. If you're visiting with us today, and I know we have visitors with us, welcome. We are glad you're here. We want to meet you, so don't rush off if you don't have to, and give us an opportunity to get better acquainted. If we can help you in any way, please let us know, and we'll do all that we can to be of help. And all of our members, we urge you to look around and see people you don't recognize, get to know them, and let's greet each other with a smile, with love, and just enjoy Christian fellowship. But we're glad you're with us today. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. At that time, our young men are going to be leading us in our worship service, and we always look forward to that because they do such an amazing job. So come out and encourage them by your presence. The fact that you're here will say a lot to them, and we know they're going to do their part, so let's do our part encouraging our young men as they grow and develop. Our young women are also getting trained in many ways. You won't see it in a public worship service like this, but in other venues, our young ladies are showing they are growing as well, and we're so indebted to our ladies for doing a great job with them, and it's just great to be part of the family of God. We love Steve and Lindsay. Steve's doing such a great job leading singing, but you may not be aware, their time with us is limited. Boo hiss. His job says, we need you to go back to Arkansas, and so they're making their plans to move back there. We've tried hard to talk them out of it, but they need an income, they say, so they're leaving. But they'll be with us a little longer, but we really do appreciate the involvement they have shown, the way they have served the Lord, And so if we don't get another chance to say it to you, Lindsay and Steve, we love you and we wish you could stay with us a lot longer, but we know you'll be an asset to the church anywhere you go. And I'm looking for an Eagle Scout. Is there an Eagle Scout with us today? Where is Evan? Is Evan here? Evan, there you are. Yesterday in this building downstairs, Evan was awarded his Eagle Scout rank, which is awesome. I think that is wonderful. That is not an easy accomplishment. It takes years of dedication. It takes a lot of merit badges, and each of those are difficult to accomplish. And Evan, we're just so proud of you. We've got other Eagle Scouts in our congregation that will affirm that is a big thing. And so we're just really happy for you, Evan, and just keep up the good work. And all of you other Boy Scouts, I don't know if we've got other Boy Scouts or not. We should. It's a great program. But so glad. It's good to be together. Let's get into the Word of God now. Get your Bible out. Turn it on if that's what it takes. Let's study from God's Word and learn His will. There is a story I found on the internet on a lot of locations. It is a story, it's not an actual account, but I suspect it has been based on true accounts. I've heard variations of it that are true. But in this case, it is a son that has been raised by a mother whose face is very disfigured. I mean, it's just everybody looks when she comes along. And it's one of those things you say, oh, wow, wonder what happened. And the son saw these reactions, and as he was growing up, he kind of was embarrassed by that. He was kind of ashamed of that. And when he graduated from high school, he told his mother, I really don't want you to come to my graduation. I don't want you to be there. And it wasn't long after that, he just totally distanced himself from her and had nothing more to do with her. The day came, she died. And it was then that he found out why her face was disfigured. She got between him and a ravenous dog, one that would have surely killed her son, a toddler at the time. But she saved his life and never told him why her face was so disfigured. But by then it was too late. It was too late for him to make amends and to show how much he appreciated what she had done when he was just a small child. That story may be fiction, but it reminds us that shame can do bad things to us. Shame can distance us from people that we really ought to be close to. And the one, of course, most that we ought to be close to is our Savior Jesus Christ. But we live in a world that looks at him in a lot of different ways. And a lot of times people say, really? Are you following that religion? Are you really into that? And we are tempted to bow our heads in shame and say, well, you know, I used to. That's kind of the way I was brought up. It's not something I've thought about a lot. And some people are totally distanced by their shame of their faith and of their Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a hostile world that tries to make us give up our faith. I want us to talk about being unashamed. I want us to see in the Word of God how that can happen and why it should never happen. Let's affirm now, while we have our faith still strong in our hearts, here's what I will be always, always unashamed of my Lord. Let's talk about attempts to silence Christ's followers. Attempts to silence Christ's followers. In fact, it began right after the church began. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 4, and you're going to see an attempt, a very strong attempt, to silence the followers of Jesus Christ, particularly the apostles. And of course, the church got off to a great beginning on the day of Pentecost. You read about that in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, there is a man that is lame. And Peter and John heal this man, and he begins leaping and shouting, and a crowd gathers, and Peter takes advantage of the opportunity and begins preaching. But then we find this in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, after the Peter and John have been arrested, it says,
And this is the thinking of the Sanhedrin, the ones who have arrested them. We want to put a stop to this. We don't want this to go on. And so they say this: in order that it may spread no further among the people, that is Christianity, in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And so what Peter and John were saying to the Sanhedrin was, no, we're not going to be silent. You're using your power and your authority to try to stop us from preaching the word. We're not. And what did they base that on? He said, we've seen things, we have heard things, we know things are true, and you cannot silence us. We will not be ashamed of our Lord. Go to the next chapter. Go down to verses 23 through 29. And this is what happens afterward. You might think, well, okay, they've got time now. They've been thinking about it. And now surely they're going to say, you know, we need to kind of tone this down. They're going to be watching us closely. And maybe we should just go behind closed doors like we were before Jesus was raised from the dead. We need just to make this a secret religion. But listen to what happens beginning in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves together and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. They don't pray for God to take away the threat. They don't say, Lord, strike them dead and remove all of the obstacles from our path. Instead, they say, grant us boldness that we may continue to preach the word. And when you go down to the last verse in that section, down in verse 31, it says they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They were not silenced. They were not ashamed. They would not be ashamed. And notice again, what did they base that on? Oh, sovereign Lord, they prayed to God. You're in control. You're the only one in control of this universe. And they talk about how God had done all of these marvelous things. It was a matter of prophecy that Jesus had been crucified and God's plan was being fulfilled. How can we be ashamed of that? And so they prayed for boldness. Now go to chapter 5. Now, the Sanhedrin, sure enough, they've been watching, and they're angry that these men have not obeyed their charge. And so what do? They arrest them. Look in verse 18 of chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and verse 18. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. Well, now we're going to really put the fear into them. We're going to make them stop all of this foolishness, they think. And yet, that night, an angel of the Lord opens the doors. They release the apostles. So what do? They run to another city to start preaching. No, they get right out there in the streets of Jerusalem and keep on doing what they've been doing. They're bold. They are unashamed. Well, the Sanhedrin, they don't get the message, and so they proceed to arrest them again. Although this time it's a little low key. They don't want the people to get upset about it because the people are really enthralled with what the apostles are preaching. But go down to verses 27 through 29. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. When they had brought them, they set them before the council. the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now, these are the men that earlier, just a few weeks earlier, had said, "His blood be upon us," saying that to Pilate. But here they're denying it. "No, no, you're not going to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Again, they're saying, "No, we're not listening to you. We're not going to stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. We're unashamed. We're going to boldly preach his name any opportunity we have." Well, they consult about it, and then Gamaliel says, "Be careful what you do," but they decide anyway. They're going to beat these men before they release them. These are all the apostles now. They're going to give them a beating, and that had to have been very painful. And so now what happens? After they've been physically assaulted, now they get the message, right? We better lower the tone, stop doing what we've been doing. It. No, no, they don't get it. Because as you find in verses 40 and 41, when they had called in the apostles, they beat them, charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. Did you hear that? They've just been beaten. They've been threatened by the highest authority in the Jewish religion, the Supreme Court, you might say. They left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. These men are not going to be ashamed because their focus is fixed on God. We must obey God rather than men. And you can say what you will, but we're not going to stop preaching and teaching about Jesus. We know this is the message God wants us to preach. In America today, we don't face that kind of persecution yet. It could come, we don't know. In many countries, there is this kind of persecution that if you're caught publicly teaching or preaching in the name of Jesus, you'll be arrested. You might be in prison. You might be put to death in some cultures. But here in America, it's nonetheless threatening. And there are those that want to silence the followers of Christ. How do they do it? Through shame. They want to shame us. I want to give you three or four quotes where that's exactly what they're trying to do. We find a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll. Now, he lived about 100 years ago. He was named the great agnostic. He was proud of the fact that he did not believe in God. And on one occasion, he said this: "As people become more intelligent, they care less for preachers and more for teachers." Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, you're not intelligent if you like to hear preaching of the Bible. You're not intelligent. And a lot of people hear that and they say, "Oh, well, I don't want to be looked upon as, you know, a lower intellect. I want people to think I'm smart. Okay, maybe I better back off a little bit." Carl Sagan, a lot of us remember that man. He died in 1996. At one time, he was a very prominent person on television, a scientist, he proclaimed, and yet he was very much against faith and religion. He said on one occasion, "You can't convince a believer of anything, for their belief is not based on evidence. Their belief is not based on evidence. It's based on a deep-seated need to believe." I don't know who Carl Sagan talked with. My faith is based on evidence. I have plenty of evidence that I base my faith on. But you see, that's the idea. They're trying to shame us into saying, "Well, I don't want to be like that. I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, just buy anything. Maybe I better not be so vocal about my belief." Richard Dawkins, a man that is still living in this world, a very prominent author who is very anti-religion, made this statement: "I am against religion because it teaches us to be satisfied with not understanding the world." Have I ever preached anything like that? Have I ever preached to you that you need to stay away from science because you don't need to understand the world? Just take what the Bible says. Well, you could just take what the Bible says and you'd still have a pretty solid understanding of science. But again, that's an attempt to shame us. It's not based on accuracy or reality, but he's grabbing at things to make us feel like, well, we better crawl under the rock and not come out anymore. Dawkins is one of a group of atheists that now proclaim themselves as the new atheists. That group has been described in this way on the internet. The term new atheism describes the positions of some atheist academics, writers, scientists, and philosophers of the 20th and 21st centuries. New atheism advocates the view that superstition, religion, and irrationalism should not be tolerated. That's their view. What we're doing here today should not be tolerated in their minds. We ought to make it a law that nobody can worship, nobody can have a Bible and read a Bible. That would be ideal for them. But you see what they've done again? They've lumped religion in with superstition, irrationalism, which means it doesn't make any sense. It's not based on rationalism. And that's the way we're portrayed by many in society today. And the effect of that is, oh, I don't want people thinking that about me. I better give up this thing about faith. Talk to Tim Haywood sometime and ask him about young people that have come to Johnson City to study in our university here and gave up their faith because of attacks on their faith by professors. Now, I understand not every professor is anti-religion. Not every scientist is that way. But there are many that are loud, and they're growing louder, that are trying to say, Christians, get with it. Just forget about these things that were based in the past, that were never really true, and come around to our way of thinking. And many people are ashamed of their faith, and they won't speak of it publicly because they're afraid of what people might say. Again, today I'm arguing that we who are Christians ought to be, need to be, must be unashamed. Why is that? Let's talk about our response to silence our message. Let's talk about our response to attempts to silence our message. I'll begin with a quote that Eleanor Roosevelt once made that's not really on the subject, but I'm going to adapt it. She once said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." I think that's a very profound statement. But I'm going to adapt it and say, "No one can make you feel ashamed of your faith without your consent." That's your decision, to feel ashamed. It means that you've heard what others have said, you believe what others have said, and so now I'm going to be ashamed. I'm going to lower my tone. I'm going to be less visibly a Christian, and so people don't know. You're going to try to be a secret disciple, which is really not possible according to Jesus. We need to have a strong determination to continue trusting in the Lord. This is the antidote to being ashamed, to have a strong trust in the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 8, makes this statement. Psalm 118 and verse 8, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And that's what a lot of people have done. They have said, "Well, I used to be with the Lord. I really believe what people are saying now, so I'm going to remove myself from his refuge, and I'm going to trust what people say." That's a huge mistake. This statement says as much. We need to be convinced of that. It is a great mistake to put our trust in people rather than in God. I want to point out a verse that I've mentioned a number of times before, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. And I would urge you to make a note of this verse somewhere in your Bible, because if anybody kind of makes fun of you for believing in the Bible, this one verse kind of encapsulates a big reason why we believe in God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. The writer there says this, "Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." Now, why do I mention that? Well, the atheists have to come up with some idea of how this universe came to be. I mean, we're living in a very ordered universe. with a lot of complexity about it. Life, it's just, how did it happen? And their explanation is, it just happened. It just happened by chance. Let me apply that logic to a house back here in the neighborhood. Doesn't matter which one, it can be anyone. And that house, I'll say, it just happened. And you say, what? What are you talking about, Tim? It just happened. There was no builder. There was no architect. It just kind of grew up out of the ground. It kind of fell into place one day or over a long period of time. And you're going to look at me like I'm crazy, which is what I would be if I seriously advocated that. And yet they're telling us that a human life just happens, that the universe just happens. You have to go against true science to believe in evolution. For example, they say matter comes from non-matter. They say matter comes from non-matter. When have we ever observed that? No scientist has ever observed that. And they will say that order comes out of chaos. Really? Has that ever been demonstrated by scientific principles? No. It's quite the opposite. Chaos leads to further chaos. Or intelligence comes from non-intelligence. How can you make that argument? How is it possible that intelligence could arise when there was no intelligence at any given time? So you're asking me to put my faith in men, women that believe this and turn away from religion in God based on evidence that the Bible speaks about? No, thank you. I'm not going to be ashamed of God, nor of his son, Jesus Christ. You heard the passage that was read earlier by Dennis in Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. Let's look at it again. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Have you taken up your cross? And you say, well, they don't use crosses anymore. Why should I? Well, crosses come in many forms. For us in America, it may be ridicule. You know, people that are supposedly highly educated, and they are highly educated, supposedly really smart, and yet they're looking down on us and making statements that make us look ridiculous. That's our cross. Let us take up our cross. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Are you willing to sell your soul to be acceptable to people? People who don't follow true scientific principles? Are you willing to give up your soul's salvation for that? That's what Jesus is asking there. Think about what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8, and then we'll look at verse 12 as well. He writes to Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now suffering there for Paul meant I'm in prison. And for Timothy, it might very well mean that, and probably did mean that at times. For us, suffering might be, well, some people don't think highly of me. Some people think I'm a moron. I've learned to live with that. I know who I am. I know what I believe. That's not a problem for me. And so Paul is saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, which is why I suffer as I do, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. That may be the key to being unashamed, is knowing him who has called us. Do we know Christ? Or are we just simply, you know, well, I'm part of a group that does these things on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't really know much about Jesus. That's the problem. We don't know our Lord. We don't know what he's capable of. How can we trust him if we don't know him? Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. This is one of only three times the word Christian is found in the New Testament. But listen to what he says. If anyone suffers as a Christian, you mean being a Christian might cause me to suffer? Yes. You are suffering because you are a Christian. Well, let me do something about that. I'll just kind of back off a little bit. I'll be a little more discreet about it. I won't suffer as much. Peter says, don't take that approach. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Let us do like those apostles did when they said, we rejoice that we were beaten, because now that means we're counted worthy to suffer for the name. And that's what Peter is saying here. Rejoice in that suffering, because it means you're being steadfast. You're not giving ground, not one inch. Can the world intimidate us into renouncing our faith in God and in Jesus Christ? Oh, it's doing its best to do just that. And I'm sad to say there are Christians that I've known in the past that are no longer claiming to be Christians because they're ashamed. Let that never be said of us. You've heard of the name of Jonathan Edwards, a preacher during the Enlightenment period, a period of great revival in the American colonies. He made this statement once. He said, true boldness for Christ transcends all. It is indifferent to the displeasure of either friends or foes. I don't care if you're not pleased with what I'm doing or saying. I'm following the Lord. That's what he means by that. And then he says this, boldness enables Christians to forsake all rather than Christ. That is, rather than forsake Christ. And to prefer to offend all rather than to offend him. I don't ever want to disappoint my Lord. I know I've disappointed people at times, and I will disappoint again in the future. But I make it my aim to never disappoint Jesus. He is my Savior. Let's look finally at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23. Peter just made the good confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him for that. He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then almost immediately after that, Jesus begins talking about being arrested and persecuted and killed in Jerusalem, and on the third day raised again. Peter didn't like that. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 22, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Crucifixion was a shameful way to die. Shameful. It meant that you were a criminal. Lord, you can't be talking like that. That's not going to happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. And this is why. Pay attention. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Is that our problem when we feel a twinge of shame? Is that our problem when we don't want to speak up, when we have an opportunity to speak about Jesus? We're putting setting our minds on the things of man rather than the things of God. The world will laugh, mock, ridicule, belittle us, but let us have ears only for the Lord. He is the one who speaks truth, and on him we can rely. Let us always be unashamed, totally unashamed. Are you willing to take a stand for Jesus this morning? Confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? knowing that that means you're going to turn away from sin, sins that you've enjoyed doing in the past. But if God tells you it's a sin, I'm done with it. And today I want to identify with Jesus in the most complete way possible. I want to be buried with him in baptism and be united with him and raised up from that grave, forgiven. Forgiven of all my sins. And if you're ready to make that decision, we urge you not to put it off another moment. Be unashamed and confess your faith in Jesus. And today, if you're a Christian, you've allowed sin to get back into your life, but you know, I've been wrong. I need to be forgiven of that. I need to repent of it. And today, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. And God has promised he will forgive if we'll repent and pray. If we can help you in any way, please come now as we stand together and sing.
Had three
to come forward this morning to ask for prayers. And what a great thing this is to be able to know, here is my family. I can confess, I can let them know I'm weak, I need strength, because they love me, and that's true. This is not a place of judgment. It's a place of support and love. And we're so thankful for each of these who have come forward. I received the first request yesterday from Steve Sides. Steve had emailed me about this, and this is why he came forward. So I'm going to read what he sent to me yesterday. I know I've said and done things that have brought reproach upon the church. While I know and can obtain forgiveness for the sins in private, I cannot for sins in public. For these sins, I ask for the forgiveness of the church, and for all my sins, I ask you to pray for my forgiveness to our Lord and Savior and God himself, that these things will not be held against me and that I can be forgiven so that I can make heaven my home. I want to be ready to go at any moment, and after today, I'm ready when he's ready. We know Steve has been through a lot in recent months. It's just been beyond description, I'm sure. But Steve's faith and Gail's faith were strong, and that's why Steve is coming forward this morning. His faith is strong. I'm going to pray with him in a bit about this and ask for God's forgiveness. Joanna comes forward this morning, asking for our prayers for her brother, David, and his family. They are on their way home after a week of vacation, and she's worried about them, wants them to have safety in coming back, and ask, in fact, for all who are traveling today for God's protection to be upon them. And again, these are things we should not take for granted. We should always lean on the Lord for his protection in travel. And then Brandy comes forward this morning saying, I'm just struggling with a lot of different things in my life and I'm not handling it as well as I should. Sometimes I get angry, say things I shouldn't. I just need forgiveness for what I've done that I shouldn't have done and strength to do better. And again, I know we know that Brandy has been going through much and we admire her for her faith and strength. But she knows that she's not always as strong as we sometimes may think she is. So we're going to pray on her behalf as well. Had a request also from Charlotte Chapman, our sister, who asked for our prayers for her granddaughter. She says, my granddaughter needs prayers. God knows her problems. And so we're going to ask God's blessings on this granddaughter as well. And before we go to God in prayer, I also want to introduce to you your newest sister in Christ, and that is Peyton Lewis. Peyton over here has been worshiping with us for the last 4 years, and she grew up, she has a heritage in the church in Shady Valley, and often worships up there to be with her mamaw. But she came to me last week and says, I want to be baptized into Christ. And so several family members were here Thursday evening, heard her confess her faith, and she was baptized into Christ. Peyton, stand for a moment so everybody can see who you are. And I urge everybody to get to know her and welcome her into the family. She's a wonderful young lady. So let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, you are so awesome. So wonderful in every way. We praise you most because of your love for us and your mercy and grace in giving us your Son, Jesus, as the Lamb that would atone for our sins. Father, we're so sorry. We committed the sins that led to his death, his brutal death, but we're so thankful you didn't give up on us. And Father, we pray that we'll always be found in his steps. Please, Lord, bless us. We want to pray on behalf of our brother Steve this morning. He has confessed sins that he has committed publicly, brought reproach on the church and on the name of Christ. And Father, whatever these things may have been, please forgive him for these. Let his garments be white as snow, bathed in the blood of Christ, and let him know that all is forgiven. Nothing is held against him. Continue to bless him, Father, as he mourns the passing of his wife, Gail, their separation. And now he knows they'll again be joined together one day. Father, be with Joanna, but especially bless her brother and his family as they travel home from vacation. And be with all who are traveling, Lord, because there are many dangers on the road. And your hand will guide us safely. We trust that. So be with David and his family and many others. Father, we pray for Brandy. Please, Lord, bless her. She and Brandon are doing wonderful things, but we know there are also stressful things involved. Bless them, Father. Bless Brandy especially. If she has done or said things that are wrong, forgive her of that, Father. Give her strength and faith to do better. Be with Charlotte's granddaughter. We don't know the issues, Father, but you do. And we put her in your hands, Father, and we ask that you'll bless her in whatever ways are appropriate and needed. And Father, thank you for our new sister, Peyton. Thank you for her courage to step forward and say, I want to walk in the steps of my Savior. And thank you, Lord, that he now is indeed her Savior. May she always be strong. May she always follow your Son. We know there are many other things among us, Lord, that have not been spoken. Look inside every heart, Father, and bless us in the ways that you know are needed. We're thinking now also of Carrie Van Tine, who had to be taken to the ER yesterday. Father, please bless him with continued recovery and strength. Bless those who are working with him, that they may have wisdom and skill. Be with us all, Lord. We need you every step of the way until one day we find ourselves home in heaven. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will sing this song to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. I will say I appreciate the comments, Tim. You know, there's lots of people that I look around and say, man, I wish I'd got to know that person better or that person better or that person better. But it's encouraging to know that you can move 12 hours from home and the Lord's church is thriving, you know. So that's been super encouraging for us. And we're looking forward to getting back and getting involved wherever it is we end up. So,
Thank you.
If you would, go ahead and raise your hand if you need a communion cup. We have a brother in the back that will happily give that to you. If you need one now, just simply raise your hand. At this time, if you would, go ahead and prepare the bread and the juice. Instead of a collection of thoughts to draw our mind to the cross, typically I sit in the pew and I come up with different things. Sometimes I go through maybe the seven things that Christ suffered on the cross, or seven things around the crucifixion, or I think about different words, about different songs, about different memories that come to mind. So this time I want to ask everyone to just take a moment, examine yourself, and prepare your mind to partake in the Lord's Supper. And then we'll go into prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, asking you to bless this bread that represents your Son's body, we understand that there was no other way. This was the only way, Father, that we could all have that eternal hope of salvation. And Father, as we bless this bread, Father, we ask that we partake of it in a manner that's worthy unto you, Father, and we put that cross, that sacrifice that Jesus made, in the forefront of our minds, and remember who he is, who he did it for, and why all of this had to occur. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go to our Father again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again asking you to rest this cup, this juice, Father, that represents the blood of Christ. Father, we know that if there was no blood sacrifice, Father, then there could be no atonement for sin. We see that shadow in the old law, Father, and we see that fulfillment in the new law. Father, we thank you for the love that you have towards us, all of us, Father, that allows us to partake in this, to proclaim your Son's death, and to proclaim his resurrection, and to proclaim all the good things that you've done for us. Please bless this cup. In Christ's name, amen. As we shift gears slightly to move into the offering, keep in mind that sacrifice. Without that sacrifice that he gave, I mean, we can't outgive that. But we have to do everything we can every day to deny ourselves, to pick up that cross and follow after him. So not just material blessings, but also our time, our words, everything that we do in our life needs to center around him. So let's pray now as we give thanks for the offering. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by so many things that you've given to us, Father, the most of which is your Son. At this time, Father, we give back a portion of just a few of the things that you've entrusted to us, Father, as stewards. Father, as we move forward throughout the week, we ask that we do all things to glorify you and to glorify your Son. Father, we love you. Give us wisdom and give us direction. Keep us from sin. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Eternal Father, you are our rock. Father, we come to you praising your holy name As your children, we continually are amazed at your loving protection. We want to thank you for your holy scriptures, the wisdom that is there and the knowledge found there, that this wisdom and knowledge help us in our daily walk. Father, we are also aware that we stumble sometimes and we ask for forgiveness for that, and sometimes we even lose our way. Father, help us to be mindful of the path that we are on and the direction that we're headed in your way. Thank you for your mercy and grace. And we also thank those who can guide us in our journey as Christians through their teaching, their preaching, or their personal example. Father, so many are hurting and needing comforting and encouraging. Show us how to help you help them. Father, we thank you for who you are, the true and living God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here are the announcements that I've been given. On Saturday, April the 5th, Central will host its annual Ladies Day. The theme will be How God Brings Beauty from Ashes, and Debbie Dupe will be the guest speaker. Please take the time to register, and you will find more details at that site on gracemind.com or .org, and is also out there on the board. Central will host the annual graduation for DRC on the evening of April 5th, 2025. To honor the graduates, we will serve a graduation luncheon at noon that day. We need helpers to decorate, serve, set up before, and clean up after lunch. Please sign up on the announcements board outside in the hallway if you can help with either of these needs. For questions, see Robin Dausch or Debbie Ingram. Candy donations are needed for Central's annual egg hunt at the side porch. Please leave donated Easter candy at the Welcome Center by Wednesday, April the 9th. Anyone who wants to contribute to a display of church history coming up in May, our 85th anniversary, this is our homecoming. Please contact Catherine Albertson. If you have any items to display, please bring them by April the 6th. Other upcoming Central events, 55 Plus will meet on Monday, April the 7th at 6 p.m. Please sign up on the message board and list any food items that you plan to bring. Retired Men's Breakfast will meet on Tuesday, April the 8th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list if you plan to attend. Central's Redbirds will meet on Tuesday, April the 8th at Mad Greek at 11 a.m. Remember these in prayer along with those that have asked for prayers this morning and those that may have not been expressed, but the Lord knows. As mentioned, Carrie V was taken by ambulance on Saturday afternoon to Johnson City Medical Center with low blood pressure, dizziness, and abdominal pain. He was placed in ICU after scans showed bleeding in the abdomen. Deborah asked for our prayers for God's help. The granddaughter of Christine and Charlie R. is now back home from the hospital and is doing better. Thank you for those who sent out and prayed for Renee. Is there anything else that needs to be announced at this time? If not, have a great afternoon. Hope to see you this evening.